The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Kiddushin has been sponsored by our good friend Mr. Haimi Dana, Hashem Shmireu V'Hayehu, in honor of his wife, Dina Bat Rivka. That should have many years of Shalom Bayit, Masechet Kiddushin. And Aslaha, Parnasa, and all good things, health, happiness, Nachat from the children, and all the Berachot. Amen. Daf Chaf Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Mor Zakeni Yosef Ben Sarah Marat Zakenati Yafa Batsara. Vegam Aynu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem. Yehem Began Aiden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashlema Moshe Ben Dina Asra Ruham Batraham Vesra Batrahel. Sion ben Esther in the front of him. For the nefesh, for the group, for the temple, and above the king, you know, amen. We are on Daf Chav Vav Amud Bet, and we are starting three lines on the bottom, starting with the words Tashema. We're in a sugya over here of Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav is Kinyan, which means, according to the halakha, a person can acquire a field in one of three ways: Kesef, Shtar, or Hazakah. When it comes to metaltalin, however, when it comes to portable items, movable items, the way you acquire that is through mishicha. However, the Mishnah taught us that if a person wants to give over or sell metaltalin, he's able to sell karka, and the person makes a kinyan on the karka, and when he makes a kinyan on the karka, it drags along the metaltalin as well, even though he didn't touch the metaltalin. The kinyan on the karka drags along the metaltalin. That kinyan is called kinyan agav. The question of the Gemara till now was, do the metaltalin have to be on the field at the time that the person makes the kinyan on the field, or it doesn't matter where the metaltalin, can be somewhere else. But so long as he makes a kinyan on the field, it drags the metaltalin with it. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara tried to bring proofs back and forth. The Gemara was not able to be poshet yet. It's she'elah. So Gemara tries again. Tashema Maase Berabban Gamliel Uskinim Shayu Baim Bisfina. Ban Gamliel and the elders, the Achamim, were on a boat. What happened? Rabban Gamliel had a product, he had wheat, let's say, or fruit in his house, and he did not take Maaser from it. He was worried that his family is going to eat from it, because we have a Hazakah that says that Tamir Hacham, whatever he leaves in his house, you can assume that it's fixed. So he was concerned they're going to eat and they didn't take Maaser. They didn't take Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, whatever the case was. So he has to figure out a way on the boat to now take the Maaser. He's on a boat, he's in the middle of the sea. So what did he do? So Amar Lehem, the Bankim Lezekinim. So the Bankim tells the Hakamim, Isur Sheni Atid Lamud. This Maaser Rishon that I am destined to separate, Natun Lo Li Yoshua. Who was on the boat with him? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi is a Levi. So he gets Maaser Rishon. So he says, the Maaser Rishon that I'm destined to take is going to belong to who? To the Yeshua ben Levi. Umekomo muskar lo. And I'm renting him the spot that the Maaser is on. So therefore, by giving the Yeshua the land, he's acquiring the land, and derech agav, he's going to acquire the maaser that's on the land. So you see what? He was able to use kinyan agav, because the maaser is metaltalin. How are you going to get the metaltalin? So he's maskir him the land, which means, she says, Natun li Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. Oh, I said Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. She says it's Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. That's a big hadush, that he was a Levi as well. Okay, and again, as she proves from different places that they called him, he was from the Meshoririm, from the singers, meaning from the singers in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, meaning from the Levim. Umekomo muskar. Now, how did he sell him the land? That's very easy. On the boat, Rabbi Yoshua gave a piruta to Rabban Gamliel, and one of the ways that you acquire a field is with kesef. So the field belonged now to, or the spot belonged to Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. And the maaser on the field now belonged to him through kinyan agav. So we seemingly have a proof that what? That kinyan agav, the goods are on the field itself. Gemara continues the story, but the Isur Acher Shani Atid Lamud, she says that year was also the year of Maser Ani. We have to give 10% to the Anim. So he says, and that other 10%, Natun Lo La'akiba bin Yosef. Rabbi Akiva was on the boat also. So he made Rabbi Akiva buy another portion of the land. And on that portion of the land, he said, that's where the Maser Ani is going to be. Because Rabbi Akiva was the Gabay Tzedakah. He would give out the money to the Aniim. Kedesh yizkebo la'aniim umekomo muskar lo. And he rented him the place, therefore using kinyan agav. So what do you learn from this story? So Yamara says, Shma minna ba'inan siburin ba. You see that what? That you need siburin, that the items are on the field itself. Right? The ma'asir was on the field. He got the Maser Rishon to Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, and he got the Maser Ani to Rabbi Akiva using Kenyan Agav, because he sold him the field that it was on. So comes Gemara and says, now obviously he wasn't on it yet because he didn't separate it. You have to say that whatever they were going to eat, the leftovers was going to turn into Maser. But the point is he was Mezaken already to them, so that allowed them to eat the product. Gemara says, Shaniyatam, Kihichide lo litrechinu, no proof. Only reason why over there, he gave them the field that the Maaser was on, because he didn't want to trouble them. Why would he trouble them? Because let's say he gave them the field, and the Maaser was somewhere else. Right? So now, or he was Mekneh them, say better. Let's say the Maaser was in the house of Rabban Gamliel, and the field is somewhere else. So what's going to happen now? When these rabbis come home, they're going to have to get this Maaser off the field very quickly, because it's on their stuff is on somebody else's property. So he didn't want to matriach them with that. When they come home off the boat, right away they got to get their Maaser off Rabban Gamliel's property. So therefore he says, you know what? You own the property that the Maaser is on. So then when they get home, they can keep their Maaser because it's their property, which means really I can tell you, you don't need Siburi. Maybe I'll tell you that technically he was able to be makneh them a field somewhere else, in order to give them the kinyan agav on the ma'asir. But what's going to happen if you do that? That the ma'asir is not on their land. So what's going to happen? The second they get off the boat, they got to clear out the ma'asir from Rabban Gamliel's house. Because they own another field somewhere else. And that's a tracha. They don't want a matriyah. Okay, when they get off the boat, they can keep the ma'asir where it is. They don't got to rush to his house to get it off the property, because that's the property that they own. So you have no ra'ayah. He did it for convenience purposes. He didn't do it because it is halakhically necessary. Tashema Adam Rabba Bar Yitzhak Amar Rav. Shne shtarot. Okay, there's two types of shtarot. The Gemara is going to give you the different types of shtarot. Zechu basade zu lefloni. Guy tells his friend, do me a favor, go make hazakah on that field for somebody else. You can do that, which means he points like a shaliach. Go be zoche in that field over there. Do a hazakah, whatever it is, for so-and-so. Good? Never mind. Do it for that guy. Now, v'chitvu lo et ashtar. Oh, and he also wrote a shtar. Oh. So why did he write the shtar? He wrote a shtar just for ra'ayah purposes, just for proof purposes. The kinyan is taking place by the hazakah, and he wrote a shtar just, you know, as a proof. Proof that he did such a thing, right? That he gave over the field to such and such a guy. Chozer b'shtar. If he wants to change his mind on the shtar, he can change his mind, because the shtar is not binding. The shtar is just the ayah, proof. The main kinyan is what? The hazakah that the guy made. Then chozer b'sadeh. But you can't retract from what the guy did in the field. He already appointed the guy to go do that hazakah. That's it. The shtar, you can back out of the shtar, because the shtar is not making the kinyan over here, right? Now, almenach, the second type of shtar. But if he comes along and says, Almenat, which means he told him, go make a kinyan on the field for such and such a guy, but on the condition that I write up a shtar. So therefore, what is he saying? That he also wants it to be activated through the shtar. Then the shtar has more weight. So therefore it says, Chozer ben b'shtar ben b'sadeh. Then you can back out on both. So until you give the shtar, you can come along and say, I want it back, even though he made a hazakah. It pass. What? I didn't give the shtar yet. So if he makes the kinyan contingent on the shtar, then he can back out until the shtar is given. Now we get to the case. There's three types of shtarot. Three. Had Amran. Two, we just said.
the case. Idach im kadam mocher vekatav lo et hashtar.
Let's say you have a mocher. He wrote the shtar before he sold the field. He wrote a shtar up. He didn't yet give it over. Rashi says kadam. Look at Rashi. Im kadam kodim nitinat hakesef or kodim sheozak. Yeah, which means before the guy paid, or before the guy made hazakah. In this case, like over here, he wrote the shtar up already. So the shtar was written already from before. Keota sheshaninu, like it says, Rabbi Chayaz explained, like we learned in the Mishnah, kodvim shtar lemocher. You're allowed to write the shtar to the mocher, right? I am selling you my field. Afalpi. I mean, the Aidim are able to write a shtar for the mocher, for the seller. Afalpi she'en lokeach emo. Even though the guy's not around, you could write the shtar. And the witnesses and the shtar itself, it's not considered predated and all that, because we say everything works retroactively from the time that the shtar was written. The Aidim are making the kinyan. However, kevan she'ozik emo bekarka. Now, the key is like this in this case. I'm going to give you the details in this case so you understand it good. The guy wants the kinyan of the field to work with a shtar. Okay, he's working with the shtar. But what? The kinyan of the shtar doesn't work until the buyer receives it. So now, in this case over here, the shtar is considered like metaltali. You got to get the shtar over to the guy's hands. He's not around. Right? So what do? So he says, kevan she'azik emo bekarka, let the guy make a kinyan on the karka, meaning to hazaka. And once he makes hazakah on the land, kinyan agav, the shtar will be considered as if it got to him. And now the kinyan is activated with the shtar itself. Nikne shtar bechol makom shehu. Get the case good over it. The guy wrote a shtar. Okay? He seems he wants the field to be sold with the shtar itself. And it will be sold with the shtar. Only problem is you got to get the shtar to the guy. You got to get it to the seller's, to the buyer's hands. But the guy's not around. How are you going to get it to the buyer's hands? Well, I have a way. Kinyan agav. I'll get the field to the guy's hands. And once I get the field to the guy's hands, the shtar automatically goes as well. So what do you tell the guy? Go to the field. Make a hazakah on the field. By making a hazakah in the field, you kone the field. Could you buy a field with hazakah? Yeah, but he doesn't want the field, let's say, to be acquired only through hazakah. He wants to use his shtar. So what does he do? Make hazakah in the field to kinyan agav. Now the shtar is considered transferred, and therefore we see that kinyan agav works where you don't have to have the item on the field, because the shtar is in, who knows where the shtar is. The shtar's not sitting on the field. So therefore you see, on the contrary, from this proof you see, you don't need to have the metaltalin on the field itself. The metaltalin could be wherever it is. Shmami na lo ba'in an siburim ba. You don't need siburim. That's the Gemara's proof. So comes the Gemara and says, Shani shtar. De afsira de arahu. Shtar is different. Shtar equals karka. Wherever the shtar is considered karka. The shtar is considered like the reins of the karka. Because how do you buy a karka? With a shtar. So therefore, wherever the shtar is the item that pulls the karkatim. So therefore, you can't bring an ayah that if I acquire a field, the shtar, wherever it is, transfers to the guy. Because a shtar and karka is, it's like the reins. Aren't the reins part of the horse? Yeah, well the saddle. It's on the horse itself. The shtar itself is the reins of the field. So therefore, the shtar is different. But all other metaltalin maybe have to be on the field. What are you talking about? Veha ala ketani. Which means when this rabbi, Rav Chaya bar Abin, made his statement, he proved his statement of Kinyan Agav, that when you buy the field, the shtar is transferred. He said, I'll prove it to you. You know how that works? From our Mishnah. Zui sheshaninu nechassim she'en lahem aharayut, neknimim nechassim she'esh lahem aharayut, bekesef, b'shtar, u'b'hazakah. He quoted our Mishnah that said what? You can make a Kinyan Agav, that if you make a Kinyan of the karka, the metal talin move. Now, Amishtar was not necessarily talking about a shtar, it was talking about anything. So therefore you see that the Chayyab Rabin held that any item, not only a shtar, can be niknit, bekesef shtar b'chazakah, once you make a kinyan on the field, I don't care where the metatim, which means in the Mishnah, there was no chiluk between a shtar and anything else. It's all items are transferred.
So comes Gemara says Shma Mina lo ba'inan seburim ba Shma Mina.
From the fact that if Chayav Barabin, you need a proof one more time. From the fact that Chayav Barabin said this is an interesting type of shtar. You wrote the shtar first, meaning you want the shtar to make the kinyan. You want the shtar to be, but the only problem is the shtar will make the kinyan retroactively from the time the shtar was written. We'll say that also, but you got to get the shtar to the guy's hands, but the guy's not around. So what do? Get the field to the guy. How do I get the field to the guy? Go to somebody, do it for, make hazakah for that guy, so the field goes. Well, once the field goes, what happens? The shtar is considered as if it got him through kinyan agav. And he says, I'll show you how that kinyan agav works in Mamishnah. Because Mamishnah said that when you buy the field, the metatli move with it. So you see what? That not only a shtar, any item, because you bring it ayah from Mamishnah, any item that you make a kinyan in the field, no matter where the metatli are, it'll be transferred. So you see what? You do not need Sibulim Shemamina. That's the bottom line of the Gemara. Which means, Halakha Lema'aseh, Kinyan Agav does not need Sibulim. That means, it's fantastic. I can acquire a field, and the guy tells me, by the way, with the field, I want to sell you Metaltanin, you know, I want to sell you my, whatever it is, my fruit, that I'm on the other side of the world. He didn't make Meshichan the fruit. Doesn't matter. Let him make a Kinyan in the Karka, and the fruit on the other side of the world, transfer. Shema minna, lo ba'inan siburim. Shema minna. Good? Kamli Gavaran says, Ibailu. Now we get some questions in Kinyan Agab. Okay, this is the Kinyan Agab page. All questions on the Kinyan. Ibailu, question number one. Mi ba'inan agav or no? Do you have to say the word agav? Meaning, when the guy is giving him the field. Well, the field he's selling, hazakah, let's say. Take the field over there, go make hazakah in the field. Right, go build a fence, whatever it is. And does he have to say, and I want you to acquire the fruit, let's say, with agav? Does he have to say the word agav? Meaning, to activate the kinyan, you got to say the word and you'll acquire the... Or maybe you could just say, make hazakah in the field and the fruit is yours. Or make hazakah in the field and you'll acquire the fruit. Or do you have to say, no, you'll acquire the food by kinyan agav. You got to actually say those words for the kinyan to be activated. That's Gemara's question. So Gemara says, Tashema, no, I'll bring you the proof. Diktani kolhani velo ketani agav. On yesterday's daf, all those cases, the cases, for example, were, there was a guy who wanted to get his horses and his property, his movables, he wanted to transfer it to somebody. So what did the rabbis tell him to do? Give him a field, and with the field, it'll transfer. Now, in that story, the word agav was not used. He didn't say the word agav. And still what? We said the transfer was successful. You know, all those pages of stories over there where we said the guy acquired, sold him a field, and then the metatli moved with it, the word agav was not used, and you still see it was executed. So you see, you don't have to say the word agav. Come on. Miketani. If you look in that story also, even the word kini wasn't used, which is he didn't even say the word kini. Now we know if you don't say the word kini to acquire, of course it's not going to be good. Ela ad amar kini. But over there is lav dafka. Even though you didn't say, you have to say the word kini. Hakaname ad amar agav. So I can tell you, yeah. No, so over there you have to say the word agav also. Which is, don't bring me the ayah that because the cases worked over there and you didn't say the word agav. Hello, you didn't say the word kini also. And we know it would not work unless you said the word kinni. So you have to say it was lavdavka over there. He said the word kinni also. So just like the word kinni was left out, lavdavka, agav was also left out. But maybe you do have to say agav. Okay? Hilcheta, bottom line. Siburim lo ba'inan. Agav ukni ba'inan. Halakha lema'aseh. Siburim you don't have to have. The metatlin do not have to be on the field. You can acquire it. Make kinyan in the field, metatlin move automatically. But what? You got to say to the guy, acquire the field, kini. Kini tasadeh, right? And agav, you'll acquire the metatlin. You got to say the word, agav. Agav, that has to be said. That's not have to be negotiated. We should point out that till now we're talking about where the guy is selling. The guy's selling a field, okay? So he says, I'm selling you the field. When you make the kinyan on the field, so I'm selling you also the metatli, not gifting to him. We're not talking about gifting. I'm selling you, which means he'll pay for the metatli. You pay, which means, I don't know, let's say it's $1,000 worth of metatli. So the guy paid $1,000, but I got to get it to him now. I got to transfer it to him. So make a kinyan on the field, and through that you'll make a kinyan on the fruit that I sold you. Right? Even though you gave me the money, money is nothing. Money doesn't make a kinyan for metatali. Oh, kinyan agav. So now, kinyan agav is a hadush. Where I see it is by what I'm purchasing. I could purchase a field, and derech to purchase in a field, I could purchase also metatali. So the Gemara's question is like this. Since it is a hadush, maybe it's limited. What's the limit? Ibainu. Sadeh b'mecher, u'metatalin b'matana mahu. Oh. Which means, does it work even by a matana, by a gift? Which means, make an acquisition on the field, and the fruit that's in China will be gifted to you. Which means, it should work seemingly, because it's different. Bottom line, it's a difference if I make a kinyan on something that I bought or something that I was gifted. But you could argue, listen, the whole hadush of kinyan again is a hadush. So maybe in Bo'ilah Hadushah, you say where you say it. The rabbi said it by a case of where you're selling goods. I'm selling a field and I'm selling metaltalin. So at the time that the guy acquires the field, he acquires the perot that he also bought. That he bought. Maybe bought. Yeah. But maybe buying a field and using the field to gift metaltalin. Maybe no. Maybe you don't say it. We have a proof from the story on the boat of the rabbis. Let's go back to the story on the boat. What was he doing, the rabbis? He was giving him the field and gifting the Yoshua the Maaser. He wasn't selling the Yoshua the Maaser Rishon. It's a gift. Yeah, he can gift any Levi he wants. He decided to be Yoshua ben Levi, the property that's in my backyard. You own the property. How do you own it? The Yoshua paid money. So now we own the field. Derech Agav, what came along with the field? The gift of Maaser Rishon. You didn't buy me. I don't buy Maaser Rishon. It's a gift. Also, Gemara says, Tashima, Isur Shani Atid Lamu Natuni Yoshua, Umekomo Muskarlo, Shmarmina. Proof positive that you can even give a gift, Derech Agav. Good. Next question. Ibailehu. Sade le Echad Umetaltelin le Acher Mahu. Wow, now you're starting to use the Kinyan Agav a little more imagination. Which means you say like this. You acquired a field. Go make Hazakah in the field, whatever it is. So you'll acquire a field, and I want the Metaltelin to go to somebody else. Agav, your Kinyan. On the field, when you make the Kinyan, your Kavanah is the Kinyan of the Karka is yours, and through that Kinyan that you're making, it's as if you're making a kinyan also on the mitzvah for somebody else. I could appoint you a shaliach to go make a kinyan for somebody else. Now go do me a favor, go make mishicha for me. Right? Go to the store, buy perot for me. Let's go a simple case, right? Go to the store, buy perot. I could appoint you to do that. You make mishicha on the perot, and the perot belongs to me. So could you do that with a gav? Go, you acquire a field, and the mitzvah, with your kinyan, the mitzvah will go to somebody else. Good? Gemara says, it's okay. What's the proof? Yakiva. Rabbi Gamaliel was on the boat. He owed Maaser Ani. Who is the Gabbai Tzedakah for the Maaser Ani? The Yakiva. So what did he tell him? You acquired a field, right? And when you acquiring the field, the Maaser Ani will belong to Aniim. So the Yakiva is making the Kinyan on the field by paying the money. He acquired the field, and through that, the Maaser Ani went to a third party. So you see, you can make Kinyan Agav. He make the kinyan in the field, and the money goes somewhere else. Nice. Maserani. Gemara says, Tashema isur shani atid lamud natun la'akiba ben Yosef kedesh yizke bo la'aniim umekomo muskalo. My, period. That's proof positive. Gemara says, no ra'aya. No, we thought it was two steps, but it's not two steps. My muskar le maser, which means I could come along and say no, which means he was gifting the field directly to the Aniim. Which is, he was telling Rabbi Akiva, be kone the field for the Aniim. Not you kone the field and Agav the Maaser will go. No, you kone the field for the sake of the Aniim. You're Shaliach of the Aniim. So you'll acquire the field for the Aniim and the Maaser belongs to them. So it's one step. Yeah. It's all the Aniim. It's not like he owned the field and the money went to them. No, everything belonged to them. So no proof. Other answer, Vibaitema, Shani Rabbi Akiva, Diyad Aniim Hava. Oh, this case is different because Rabbi Akiva is like the hand of the Aniim.
because he's the one that dispensed the tzedakah to the anim. He was the gabay tzedakah of the Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, when it gets to the Rabbi Akiva's hands, the field, it's as if the maaser got him as well. It's not the pshat that Rabbi Akiva got the field and the anim, somebody else got them. No, he's like the ani, Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because since he's giving it out, so he's zocher for them, because he gives it out, therefore it's considered all him. If we have no ra'aya that you can gift, you can let the guy acquire a field and give the kinyan agav somewhere else. No ra'aya. Good. Rabbi Akiva is yad aniyim. He is one with the aniyim because he gives it out. Good. Okay, now we got a new point. Let's discuss this outside for a second. Kinyan agav. Okay, here's the field. Go make a kinyan on it. Beautiful. You don't even got to give money for the field, by the way. The money, make a hazakah. That's one of the ways you can be koneh a field. Yeah. Good? I said, by the way, with that kinyan that you're making on the field, the $1,000 of perot in China will be nikni to you, derech agav. Kinyan agav, right? We said you can do that?
Yes.
Good. You don't need sabudin, but you got to say the word agav. Okay. Good, you did it. But let's say the guy only paid $500. You're not going to say that $1,000 of perot are transferred. You're only going to say the transfer only is hal according to the amount of money that he gave him. We don't just say, oh, you made hazakah in the field, all $1,000. Hey, how much money did you give him, by the way? You gave him a dollar. It's going to be commensurate according to the amount that he paid. So give us says that. Amar Abba. Lo shanu ela shenatan de mekudan. You paid for all the betatani. Aval lo natan de mekudan lo kana ela keneged ma'otav. The only thing that's going to get transferred is according to what he paid. Okay, makes sense?
The agreed payment.
Yeah, the agreed payment, whatever it is. Tanya kimated Rabba. We bring a braita to support Rabba. You ready for the braita? Interesting braita. The bright over here basically is going to show us there's three types of kinyanim, kesef, shtar, hazakah. The Gemara is going to show us how each one of these kinyanim, kesef, shtar, hazakah, each one has a strength that the other one doesn't have. The Gemara says, yafeh kowah ha-kesef mekowah ha-shtar. It's worthy just once to explain the word yafeh kowah. Whenever you see in the Gemara yafeh kowah, it means it's power, its effect, its execution, yafeh kowah. It has a stronger power. What has a stronger power? Kesef has a stronger power than shtar. Sometimes. Vekoach hashtar, vekoach hakesef. Sometimes shtar is more powerful than kesef. How? Yafeh koach hakesef. You know why kesef is powerful? Shekesef podim bohek deshot. Umaaser sheni. Mashenkem b'shtar. You have maaser sheni. Kodesh, right? I want to redeem it. How do I redeem it? I transfer the kedushah of the maaser sheni on money. Money can make a pidyon on maaser sheni. I have ikdesh. I want to take the ikdesh off the item. How do I do that? Money. Oh, so, but you can do it with a shtar. I can't transfer the kiddushah by ma'asir sheni on a paper, on a shtar. Mm-hmm. So you see, the power of kesef is greater than shtar, because kesef can be podeh, ma'asir, can be podeh ikdesh. Let's go the other way. V'yafek kowach hashtar, shashtar motzi bibat Yisrael, mashen ke mekesef. Right. A shtar, get. Right, I can use a paper, somebody can use a paper, give a get. But you can't give a get with kesef. So shtar, in one sense, is greater than kesef. Now, the yafek kawach shenehem mekawach hazakah. Kesef and shtar are both greater than hazakah. Why? Oh, and the opposite. The kawach hazakah mekawach shenehem. And sometimes hazakah is stronger than kesef and shtar. Now, Gemara explains. Yafek kawach shenehem, kesef and shtar, shishnehem konim be'eved evri. Eved evri, how do you acquire an eved evri? I can buy him with kesef, I can buy him with shtar. But she'ekim hazakah. You can't buy an eved evri with hazakah. Hazakah, you gotta let him do work for you or something like that. No, you gotta acquire him with kesef and shtar. Yafeko hazaka, but hazaka is stronger than both of them. Now, hazaka, this is how hazaka works. Here's the case. Interesting case. Machalu eser sadot be'eser medinot. Okay, I'm coming to tell a guy. I want to send you 10 fields. One field is in China. One is in Hong Kong. One is in Paris. One is in New York. 10 fields across the globe. No, I give him a paper with all the different locations over there, and I want to sell them to. So what do I do? Kivan she'azik ve'ahad me'em kana'am kulam. Yuri, the guy makes hazaka on one field. And all the other fields follow suit. Continue the statement. So long as he paid. So long as he paid for all the 10 fields, all you need is to make a hazakah on one, and all the other fields go. אבל לא נתנו דמקודן, לא קנה, אלא כנגד מעותיו. Oh, but what? But if you didn't pay כנגד כולם, only the amount you paid will be transferred. So the Gemara wants to make a similar analysis by metaltelin. In this case, where fields are all over the world, are similar to where a guy wants to use kinyan on metaltelin. Quite a field, and all the metaltelin, wherever they are, will transfer. But according to what you paid. Yeah? So wherever they are, forever. So Tosfot asks over here a bomb question, which is an obvious question which you have to ask. Yes. What are you talking about over here? Who needs a kinyan hazakah at all over here? Mm-hmm. One of the ways you acquire a field is with kesef. So therefore, understand, the guy has 10 fields all over the world. He paid him money. He paid him money, and so he bought the fields. What are you making a story over here? What does he got to make hazakah at all for? He made hazakah in the first field, everything transfers. So long as he paid for all of them. Well, once he paid for all of them, let's see, he paid. Paying is one of the ways you buy a field, by the way. You don't need a hazakah. What's this? What's this extra kinyan you're making over here? Look at the top of his foot. Vim tomar, melo hazakah namek kana, metam kesef. It's a very strong question. Vim tomar, demari be'atra delo kani be'kaspa. Remember we learned on two tapim ago, there were certain places that had minhagim. In this place, we're talking about a minhag where the guy does not, they didn't pay with kesef. The way they would buy fields was through hazakah. So therefore, the money itself, the people are not so mechdav, the people are not gomer to finish the sale, because they know that in this place, the custom was, you got to make hazakah. So until you make hazakah, nothing happens. It also goes according to the minhag of the place. You're right, kesef is kone. But if I say in a certain place, nobody has da'at to use kesef. That means the seller in his mind didn't have mind to consummate the sale, the buyer, until the hazakah. That's what I have to say. So that's why. He made a hazakah in the field. But what? What's going to transfer? What's going to be pulled across the board? Whatever he paid for. He paid for 10 fields, make hazakah in one field, and all the other fields, you transfer. Similarly, by kinyan agav, you make hazakah in the field. All the metaltin that you paid for are going to be transferred. Good. That's one answer of the Tosafot. Okay. Good. Continue. Gemara says, "Messiah le Shmuel." Oh, this story over here with the fields is a proof to Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? Damar Shmuel, machalu 10 sadot be'10 medinot, kevan she'yachzik be'ahad mehem, kanat kulam. Perfect. That's what we said. 10 fields across the world, make hazakah in one of them, everything goes. Amar Rav Ahabered Rav Ika Teda. I'll prove it to you that it's correct. I'll prove you that Shmuel knows what he's talking about.
He didn't stipulate how much he paid, right?
No, that part he didn't say. But the point is that there's such a concept works, where you could buy, make hazakah in a field, and everything goes. Right? That's why that she's very clear. That she points out on the third line, that part. That if you make hazakah on one, everything else goes. Good. Now, so he's up. I'll prove it to you this concept works. You have 10 animals. They're all connected, you know, on the reins, you know, connected to each other.
Yeah.
Tells the guy, I want you to be kone these animals. But what does he give him? He gives him one. Don't all the other 9 behind it come with it? Me lo kane. He's a simple case. A guy wants to sell 10 animals to the guy. So he's all attached to each other. Let's say, right? Oh, so comes the guy and says, I'm bale. Say, what's it? So sold to the fields. You make kinyan on one and everything else follows suit. He said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Me dame hatam igude biyado. Over there when you bought the horses, you're holding the reins, they're all connected. So therefore, that's why you could say you could be kone one, and everything else follows suit. Here, who just took, because you made a hazakah on this field, who told you the other ones follow, which means, I don't like your proof. So a proof should got to be right. A guy's buying a string of horses. Right? They all attach to each other, so just give him the reins of the first one, everything else follows suit. That's a proof. The reason why, because he's holding the reins, you can pull them all. Mashiach can in the field, just because he makes hazakah, what's he got to do with the other fields? So, Shmuel might be right, but if you're going to prove him from the case of the horses, it's a weak proof, right? Now, Ika de Amre. Some have a different way of learning.
Amar Rav Ahabered Rav Ika.
Teda delokane. He says, I'm going to show you Shmuel's wrong.
Same story.
Same story, but the other way. Shmuel said what? You're quiet, one field, all the other fields go with it. Ravika comes along and says, nah, can't be. Why? Again, he gave him 10 animals, he wants to give them over with, when one rains. He tells him, I want you to acquire this one.
Zoo,
this one, first one. Mikane? Does he acquire all the other nine? No. So just like when you're trying to give over a guy 10 horses, right? They're all attached. And he comes and says, Zukine. So he's only acquiring that one. Similarly, I'll say what? Then when a guy is trying to acquire 10 fields, he goes, make hazak on this one. This one, yeah, everything else, no? So he goes, no proof. Hatam gufim muhlakim. By the animals, you know why it doesn't work? Because each animal is separate. The animals are not considered one body. Each animal is separate. So when you have 10 animals that even attached to each other, meaning with the rain, and you say, kone this one. So you kone this one. It doesn't automatically drag the other nine because they're separate bodies. However, which means over here, beautiful. The mass of earth is all one. The earth, the globe. Everything's attached. This might be in China and this might be in New York, but bottom line, the whole mass of earth is attached. Might be very far. So therefore, you can't bring me to ayah when the guy comes along and says with the 10 horses, and they're all attached to each other with the reins, kone this one, it doesn't drag the other nine. Of course, because each one separately. Masha'en ken in real estate, in fields, kone this one, and get the one in China. It's, bottom line, they're all really one mess. Oh, so therefore one mess, therefore we can say what? It can't work. Okay? Good. Comes give an answer. Okay, let's say a halakha. Interesting halakha. We have a law. For whatever reason, they learned from Pesukim. You don't make a shivua on karka. Whatever the case is, a guy has a real estate, and now it comes up in court where there's questions on it. He bought it, he didn't buy it, whatever. Issues. There's no shivua on karka. The only time in the Torah you see where a person makes a shivua, a swear in court, is on metaltalin. Money. You owe me, I gave you 100, you guys owe me 50. Then you make a shivua. But on karka, there's no shivua. But, we learned in the Mishnah, once already I'm making a shivua on metaltalin, the guy now can swing me over to make a shivua now also on karka. You karka alone, there's no shivua. But if I'm in a case, and already I'm swearing on metaltalin, they tack it on also. I now swear on the karka also. That's called the gilgul shivua. Gilgul means they roll it. Yeah? On its own, if it was only a real estate deal, the judge can't tell me swear. Karka, we don't swear on karka. But if already on, it's two issues in the deal. There was karka and there was metaltalin. On the metaltalin, I could swear. The judge will say, I want you swearing on the metaltalin. Gilgul shivua. Now, how do we know this concept of gilgul shivua? In principle, how do you know that you could, that once already you make a shivua on one item, it can swing around other items that normally you would not make a shivua on? How do you know that concept? Yeah? So give us a beautiful proof. Amar ula minayin li gilgul shivua min ha-Torah. How do you know this concept of gilgul shivua? Shere emar ve'amera ha'isha amin amin. The proof is some sota. Okay, let's review. We learned this already in Masechet Sota. You have a lady, her husband suspects her. Good? He makes kinui. What's kinui? Don't go and be secluded with this guy. And what? She went. Oh, now already got taken to the Beit HaMikdash. Now already she has to drink the waters. Before she drinks the waters, the Kohen, he makes her swear. Swear you didn't do this over here. That you didn't make this Avon. And also gives her a curse. The curse is called an Allah. And if you did it, you know, you're accepting upon yourself that you're going to blow up. So it says in the Pasuk, Ve'amera Isha, Amen, Amen. She says Amen twice. So give what's Amen twice? Wutnan, Almahi omerit Amen, Amen. Amen ala Allah, Amen ala Shivua. The Allah is the curse, and Shivua is, I swear I didn't do it. Amen, that what? That if I did it, I'll blow up. And Amen, I'm swearing you that I didn't do it. Right? Amen, imi izeh, amen, imi ishahir. Amen, I didn't do it. Not with this guy, and Amen, I didn't do it with another guy. Could be there's a couple of guys in the question. So she says, Amen, Amen, I didn't do it with anybody. Not this guy, not that guy. Oh, now here's the key. Amen, shelo satiti arusa. Amen, I didn't make, I wasn't a sota when I was engaged. Venisua, not when I was married. Vishomedet yabam, nor when I was waiting to make you boom. Uchnusa, nor after I made you boom. Which means she's coming along and saying, I did not commit impropriety. I'm in. Not when I was this stage of life, arusa, not when I was married, not when I was waiting for yibum, which also is asur to go with somebody else. It's asur to go with somebody else when you're waiting for yibum, and not after I made yibum, after you make yibum, you're married. Okay? So she's covering all the scenarios. Now the Gemara makes analysis. Hai arusa hechidameh. Could you give me a case where a lady can become a sota when she was engaged? What was the problem? Either madikani la kishi arusa vekam mashkela kishi arusa ve'atenan arusa v'shomeret yabam lo shotot ve'lo notot ketubah. Let's say she was only engaged, right? The husband warned her when she was engaged, arusa, and she did it. She went with the guy. An arusa doesn't drink the waters of sota. So that cannot be the case. My tama. Tahat ishech amar rahmana veleka. The Torah clearly says that the sota waters only work when the lady is married. So give me the case where she's going to swear on a situation of arusa. The case cannot be where everything happened when she was arusa. That she was one when she was arusa. She did it when she was arusa, and then he took her to the Beit HaMikdash. She's not going to Beit HaMikdash. If the whole thing took place in the arusa state, there's no law. It's not tahat ishech. Also, you know what the case is? Ela dekani la kishi arusa. Must be he warned her when she was in arusa. Vinistira, and she got secluded. Kishihi arusa. Also when she was arusa. Vekamashkela kishihi nisua. But he waited till they got married. And once they got married, he brought her to the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore she's swearing, I didn't do anything when I was arusa. Gebra says, don't work. What does not work in that case? Why? Vinika ish me'avon amar rahmana. It says the waters only work when the husband is innocent from sin. Bizman she ish menukeh me'avon. Ma'im bodkin et ishto. En ish menukeh me'avon, en ma'im bodkin et ishto. In this case, the husband cannot be innocent from sin. Why? What's the law? Once a lady was warned, and she was secluded, is the husband allowed to be with her?
No.
It's a suit. Until she drinks. So what happened in this case? She was arusa, warned her, don't go with this guy. She went with the guy secluded. They're still engaged. Now what happened? They got married. How did they get married? Bi'ah. That's a suit right there. How did you have bi'ah with a lady? So that cannot be the case either. Because she wouldn't go to the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, Ela al yedei gilgul. You know what the case must be? Everything happened when they were married. They got married, beautiful, warned her when they were married. Kinu stira when they were married. Halakha says, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash now. They go to the Beit HaMikdash. She swears, I swear, amen, I didn't do anything when I was married. Now the husband can say, I also want you to swear that you didn't do anything when you were engaged. What engaged? You didn't even warn me when I was engaged. I know. Gilgul. Once already, I'm getting you on this case over Ibn Islam, which halakhically I'm allowed to. I'm going to roll around stuff that even, it's out of my jurisdiction. Did he make a kinui when she was arusa? No. But once already you're making a shivua on what you're able to make a shivua on, you can make a, the guy didn't trust her, let's say. You know what, I was suspicious also on arusa, maybe he doesn't. You know what, make a shivua also on the arusa also. Well, from where to where could you make a shivua on the arusa? Gilgul, once already I'm making you make on the nisua? So the case of the Mishnah that said Amen, 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 ana, Amen al ha'arusa, Amen al ha'nisua is not two cases, it's one case. That when you're making a swear on the nisua, we can
tack on
and roll over Gilgul to arusa. Now that she has a very, very interesting question over here. Let's just read the bottom of Nashi and we're finished. Look at the bottom of Nashi. Gilgul. You see the bottom of Nashi? Shekinah la kishi nisua. Vinistera, when she was Nesua, Vinit Gadgel Aleh Shivua Lerusin. Afa Pish Shaloa Yude Uyin the Shivua Bifna Asman. Even though the Arusa situation is not really Ra'ui for a Shivua, why? Shalelokine. He didn't make a Kinui when she was Arusa, so that's Yisit Skilgul. On its own, he would not be allowed to make a Shivua on the Arusa. Meikar adin. Elo, what about the gedud? Tosfot Eirush has a question. Meikasha.
He said, I have a simple case. What are you making all this pilpul? I have a simple case.
Meikasha. Have ya leukma bedekani la arusa. Give the case where she was arusa and he warned her. The istatra. Right? And she became nistera. Umashkela mishnichnesa lechupa. And I'll say, how did she get married? It was before Bi'ah. Your old problem is, oh, once you get married, already it's Yisur. What was the case? We had a question. We said, maybe make the case, everything happened when she was Arusa, but you can't give her a drink when she's Arusa. Then he got married. No, no case. Once she gets married, it's Bi'ah. Bi'ah, he made Avon. No drinking. Okay, so she's going to be a case. He got married, he didn't make Bi'ah yet. They had Chuppah, they had Sheva Berachot, everything was nice. So did he make Avon the guy? Did he make any Avon yet? Technically, are they married?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, so you have a case. You have a case where legally he's able to mashpia on Arusa. You don't have to come out to Gilgul. Okay. Understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'm going to tell you again what the case is. Rashi, according to Rashi. She's Arusa. He warned her, don't go with this guy. Mm-hmm. Then what? She was secluded with the guy. At this point, can he take her to the Beit HaMikdash? Absolutely not. She's Arusa. Arusa, you don't take her to Beit HaMikdash. He got married. If he got married with Bi'ah, no good. You can't take her to Beit HaMikdash either because he made Avon. Okay. You know, after, you know when she said he got married? He may have married a Chuppah. He's married, but he didn't make Bi'ah yet. No, you can't get Nisu'in with Kesef. Nisu'in is not with Kesef. Kiddushin is with Kesef. Nisu'in is the second stage. He didn't make Bi'ah. Oh, so you have a case. You have a case where they're technically married and legally he can mashbiah on what happened during the Irusin. That's not working with Gilgul. That's Rashi's question. You know what Rashi answers? She answers a very important rule that we learned in Masechet Yebamot. The case of Eshet Ish, which that's what we're suspecting over here, that she went with somebody else, you have to have Kedimat Bi'ilat Ba'al before the Bi'ilah of the Bo'il. But if the Bi'ilah of the Bo'il comes first, you have no case. It's Pesukim.
Yeah.
Which means, in this case over here, the adultery took place before he even had a relation. That doesn't work like that. The way the case has to work is, he had a Bi'ah first, and then somebody else. But if the Bi'ah of the adulterer came first, there's no scenario. How do you know that? As she says. As she says, because it says like this, it says, the Kohanim warn her that you did not have a relation with somebody besides your husband. That sounds like what? They had a relation first. But in this case, the way that she set it up, it's not going to be a case. Because they didn't have Bi'ah yet. And already you're bringing up to the Beit HaMikdash on stuff that happened before even the Bi'ah of the
husband.
So that cannot be the case. So what's the bottom line case? We review and we conclude. Our case. Everything happened when she was Nisu'ah. Nisu'ah. Kinuy, Stira, Beit HaMikdash. Kohen says, swear you didn't do anything when you were married. Now he says, you know what? Once already we're getting you on the Nisu'in, the husband says, you know what? Roll over Arusa. Arusa? She says, what do you mean? You didn't warn me when I was Arusa? I know I didn't warn you, but you know what? Once I'm making you swear on this, I'm going to roll in the Gilgul on the Arusin. That's where you learn Gilgul Shivua from. Now, that doesn't help us for fields.
No.
We didn't get the fields yet. Tomorrow I'm going to say, okay, so Zach Baruch, you found Sultana. What's it got to do with my field case? Okay. Baruch Amal Yolam, Amen.